You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. Ali Moreno, Stevie Nicol and Kay Murray here in the studio, and the quarterfinal draw has been made for the Champions League. We now know who will be facing who. Atleti taking on Borussia Dortmund, PSG against Barcelona, Arsenal taking on Bayern Munich, and the draw of the round, Real Madrid taking on Manchester City. In terms of the bracket for the semi-finals, it's Atleti, Borussia Dortmund, PSG and Barca on one side, and Arsenal, Bayern, Real Madrid and City on the other. Let's welcome in some more guests to the panel, shall we? We've got Frank Leboeuf and also Julien Laurent as well, but I want to start with you, Ali, on your initial thoughts to the draw.
Well, it's heavy on one side, and obviously that matchup of Real Madrid-Manchester City is going to grab all the attention and all the headlines, but I think underreported and underrated is the fact that Bayern Munich and Arsenal are on that side as well. So you're essentially getting potentially three or four out of the best teams. Three of them are going to be out before they get to the final. And look, it's a luck of the draw, I suppose. It's the way that the structure of this system is put together, and we should all accept it to some degree. But on the other side of that is teams like Barcelona, whose season looked to be spiraling out of control, now have a real opportunity to get to a Champions League final. A team like PSG that has had so many difficulties, inconsistencies, doesn't really look like a team. They have a chance of getting to the Champions League final. Atletico Madrid, who we didn't think, you know what, I don't know, they're having a down year in the Liga, I don't know, against Inter, are they good enough? They have a chance of getting to a Champions League final. I'm not going to talk about Dortmund because I don't think that they have a chance to getting on a Champions League final. But regardless, there's a pathway, there's an opportunity. So what you have is one very heavy side and one lighter side, and it's very clear to see.
What stood out to you, Stevie?
That the conspiracy theorists, as usual, are talking nonsense, you know. The fact that Atletico Madrid are playing Borussia Dortmund tells you that there's no such thing as hot balls in the bowl, right? That's what this draw tells me. Listen, there's three fantastic ties, and there's another tie where both teams are absolutely delighted at what they've got. And that's what happens when you get a draw, and you get a truthful draw.
Jules, I actually want to come to you on this one because I want to talk about this that Ali had said, there being a seemingly easier side of the bracket and a heavier side of the bracket, and get your thoughts on this and ask you if you think this is why the format will be changing as of next year.
I don't think it's one of the reasons, but it's true that this was the last draw of this kind that we will have now, because next season is the Swiss model, as we know, and then we'll have seeds for the last 16 onwards. So there won't be a draw with the hot balls or the cold balls, like Stevie just said. So this was the last time. Last season, we saw something very similar. One side of the draw was heavy. The other side, the Inter Milan side, was not as heavy. It's just, I don't know, it's just something sometimes happens like that. If you're a PSG fan or Barcelona fan, or the team's in the easier side, if you want, you're delighted. If you're one of the top side and you think that Bayern, Real Madrid and City are in the same side with Arsenal, probably four of the five favourites, well, four of the top teams really for the bookmakers. It's a shame because we will lose, like Ali just said, three of them very early on, two in the quarterfinals, and then obviously after that in the semis. So that's the way, that's the draw. I think City did it the hard way last season. Let's see if they can do it again.
Frank?
Yeah, well, you know what? I like that. I like that, the fact that sometimes, you know, the draw makes the some teams becoming the favorites, and because they are lucky. I hear sometimes also coaches or players saying, "Oh, you know, in order to win that tournament, we'll have to win against everybody." No, you don't have to. Some other team will do that for you. So it's part of the luck. It's part of the bracket. It's part of the draw. And I like that fact that luck is part of the game. And and you have to have some good time and luck in order to win that tournament. And that's what it is. And I think it's not a good thing to change that, because it's part of the what we have seen for decades, and it has helped many clubs. And I think it's part of our football. When you touch the bar, you are lucky. When it goes in, you are lucky. And it's the same for the draw. So I enjoy that. I enjoy watching finals before the final. And because we have eight, let's say, we can have like four very good teams in the semi-final, I'm happy with that.
Why? The one thing that I don't quite understand, though, is you have a draw ahead of the round of 16. You have a draw ahead of the quarterfinals. Why don't you have a draw ahead of the semifinals? Why are we having to predetermine the bracket ahead of the semifinals? In fact, why do we have to predetermine a bracket ahead of the quarterfinals? We haven't even played the quarterfinals, and we're already sort of figuring out and telling ourselves what the brackets are going to be and what their storylines are going to be. Why don't you let the quarterfinals play out, and then you have the draw for the semifinals, and we don't have to have this conversation? I don't quite understand. It's inconsistent for the rest of the competition. As I just said, you have a draw for round of 16, draw for the quarterfinals. Why don't you have a draw at the semifinals?
And you know what we're going to do? We're going to lose the mystique of the draw.
Mm-hmm.
You start getting seeds. No, it's all planned out. Mm-hmm. And oh, by the way, would there be any chance of this seeding thing coming in so that they can get all the supposed top teams at the end to try and make more money at it? Because there's got to be something to do with that along the line.
Well, be honest, wouldn't you rather see all the top teams towards the end of the tournament?
No, not... I don't want that.
You'd rather see some of these quarterfinals.
I don't want that at the expense of getting rid of the Cinderella story. That's what we're doing.
Right.
We're getting rid of the Cinderella story. The mystique of the draw is part of the whole competition. It's part of football. It has been forever. And we're slowly getting rid of all the things that we loved about the game. I mean, how many times, I don't know about you, but I've been sat by the TV or sat by the radio waiting to figure out who's Liverpool getting, who's City getting, who's Real Madrid getting, waiting for the draw. It's part of the mystique of the game. But again, we're going to get rid of it. It's madness.
And while I agree with you, Stevie, the only thing that I took out of what you just said is picturing you on the radio listening.
Well, on the bus. We used to sit on the bus. At the FA Cup, we would be going, we'd be coming back from training at 12 o'clock. They used to have it at 12 o'clock, and we would be driving back with the first team, the reserves, everybody, the coaches, the whole thing, and we'd listen to the draw on the radio, the whole bus, to see who we got. It was fantastic. But, of course, too much fun. Let's get rid of it.
But, obviously, with this setup as well, Jules, the way it is, and we're talking about the look of the draw, this is supposed to determine who the best team, the best club team is in the world, pretty much, the Champions League. You know, it's the elite of the elite. But could it end up being that the look of the draw means the team that wins wouldn't be seen that way?
You mean in a new format?
No, just even in this format, like, let's say Atleti go all the way because it was an easier side for them that we may not have expected to see them there, and then they went on to win it. Are we determining them as the best team, the creme de la creme, because of the way the look of the draw went for them?
Yeah, but we said it all the time, you can only beat what's in front of you. Frank said it, sometimes the pathway is very difficult and you have to beat... I remember when Real Madrid beat the champions of every big European league to go all the way. Great, then definitely you've beaten everybody, all the champions from France, from Italy, from England, great, you've done it, fantastic. There are other times where it's not your fault if you end up in the good side of the draw. It was not England's fault at the 2018 World Cup if by finishing what they did in the group stage, then they had an easier path to the final, for example, or semi-final in their case, compared to others, maybe. It just happened that way. So there's not much. I don't think it devalues really winning the Champions League. There were times where when Stevie played the Champions League, you didn't have as many games as you had now. It was a very different format. Next year, we'll have a different format. Would that mean more if you win it when there's more teams in a Swiss format, like a league format? Maybe, maybe not. I'm not so sure. I think that if you're PSG and you beat Barcelona and then Atletico and then maybe City or Real Madrid in the final or Bayern, you will still feel like you're worthy European champions. If you're City or Real Madrid and you've done it the hard way again, same as well. So I'm not really sure if it devalues anything. It's just happened that this is the draw. Next season, the way when you finish in that Swiss model table will decide where you are and who you play against. This is just a different way.
Frank?
And on top of that, Kay, what is very interesting is also it can interfere as well in that old format. It can interfere as well with the championship, their own championship. You know, if you play, you have City against Real Madrid, what kind of causes it's going to get, they're going to get from that, you know, in the Premier League for City or Real Madrid for La Liga. It's that's very interesting. And it's what I like about it. Otherwise, you can plan everything. And yeah, as you say, the cream of the cream, as you almost said, the creme of the creme of the creme, will predict everything in their and plan everything during the season. So we're going to rest the players because we know we're going to good play that team and that team and that team before getting to the top of the top. I don't like that. I mean, sometimes you have to live your life with surprises, and it's what we like, and I'm with Stevie in that matter. We are, as players, we are waiting for the draw. And as a top team, and I play for one top team, Chelsea, we were happy if we could avoid Barcelona at the time. And if we had to play them, we say, oh, we were excited at the same time. So it's part of that. We love that. We have Cups, Champions League. It's very exciting. If we kill that, we'll kill a little bit of the football.
So we're going to go to some of the individual matchups, and we have to go first with Real Madrid against Manchester City, because City are the biggest favourites of all the quarter-finalists to make the semis of the competition. Ali, do you think that's fair against a 14-time champion?
Oh, it seems like you're leading the witness here, Kay.
Yeah.
I tell you what, not that watching these draws are a very interesting experience, but it was interesting to see the reaction of Chiqui Egiristain, representing Manchester City in the draw, when you see that they're playing Real Madrid, and his reaction was like, ay. and look, they dominated Real Madrid last season, and it was a better version of Real Madrid because, guess what? You have players that were available then that are not available now due to injury. So we're talking Courtois and Militao and Alaba, Karim Benzema. The list goes on and on in terms of the injuries and the absences for Real Madrid. And yet, a guy of the knowledge and experience of Chiqui Egiristain was essentially saying, you mean we got to go against this team again? Because you know that, frankly, Real Madrid in Champions League seems to be a completely different animal. Having said all that, and looking past and beyond the concerns of Chiqui Egiristain, this is not a matchup that Real Madrid likes. Because you're looking in Manchester City, a team that can match your quality through the midfield, because they have players that can expose sometimes the lack of athleticism that you have in the back line, and then you have a team that offensively can exploit the frailties that you have in the back line. For Real Madrid, this is also a nightmare. This is a matchup that you don't want any part of. Manchester City, too dynamic for Real Madrid, a better version of what Real Madrid tries to do.
How does he set them up, Real Madrid? How does Carlo Ancelotti set up Real Madrid against this Man City side?
Absorb pressure. And it's something that Carlo Ancelotti has done in the past. You're going to have to absorb pressure. You're going to have to win the ball in good areas and exploit some of the things that Manchester City have exposed this season defensively and have been exposed time and time again. If they lose the ball in a bad area and you get Bellingham running with the ball and then you get Vini running with the ball, now you're cooking if you're Real Madrid. Now you're in business. But the other side of that is if Manchester City have all the possession, if they control the dynamics of the game, if they control the pace of the game, they take some of your best players out of the game. In the case of Toni Kroos, if they take him out of the game, then there is no control for Real Madrid. If there's no control for Real Madrid, then they have difficulties really maintaining the pace of the game, maintaining the rhythm of the game, and that's when I think they get in trouble. Manchester City should be favourites, and rightfully so.
Jules, how do you think Man City do feel about this? So obviously, with what happened last year, do you think that's in their minds now and it's not quite the hurdle they may have once thought it was?
Yeah, I think so. I saw the same body language that Ali just mentioned on Bekerstein, and we saw it with other representatives of certain clubs. But I think they will know that what happened last season, is, and especially that second leg at the Etihad in the semi-final where they just humiliated them. I was there. It was at times embarrassing from a Real Madrid point of view to see how much better City were. So I think not much have changed in terms of the dynamic, really, we know exactly what City are going to do. They have the intensity and the pressing, especially to cause a lot of problems to Real Madrid. It's the same format again. Bernabeu first, the Etihad second, which I think benefits City. I'm not sure Real Madrid are press resistant enough to beat that intensity and that press from City, as we saw in the second leg last season. And even if you add Jude Bellingham, you've lost Benzema, you've lost Courtois, you've lost the players that Ali just mentioned. And right now, I'm just not sure over two legs what Real Madrid will have to do. We'll have to find solutions to be able to beat the City. Of course, you can beat City on one game. Over two games, I'm not so sure that Real Madrid have enough, even with Vini, even with Bellingham, even with Valverde and a midfield that can have energy. I'm still not sure they are equipped enough really to knock out the City team.
Well, if that is the case, Jules, what does it mean for Real Madrid's season if they're to come out at the quarterfinals?
I think they wanted to avoid Man City like everybody else. I think this is the only team really that against who Real Madrid would not be favourite. I would put them favourite against anybody else in this draw, apart from City, and especially with the second leg in England. And I think this is probably the same thing from a Real Madrid point of view. This is not the draw they wanted. This is the last draw they wanted, actually, in that format as well, with the second leg at the Etihad. So I'm not sure it's as much. They are still a team, in a way, in transition, because there's a lot of young players. There's a lot of injured players as well. They still don't have a number nine of the quality. I mean, Jose Luis is a decent player, but of the quality of winning, leading this team to win the Champions League. Next season will be a different story with Kylian, but right now, it's not. And that's why this is the tie where they're not favourite. And if they were to be knocked out, they would be knocked out by the team that was the favourite. So there would be no shame in it, even if it's Real Madrid, because it's City. But a quarterfinal exit for Real Madrid, the kings of Europe, is never good enough anyway.
But is that a tie we'd have rather seen further down the line?
I feel like you want to circle back to the draw situation. Yeah, of course we would have liked to have seen in the final. Of course we would have liked to see further in the competition, because we're depriving ourselves from watching what we think are the two best teams in a stage that really, truly matters, and in this case would be the final. But that's not where we are, right? And so the other way to look at it, Kay, is we're going to see this game twice. So instead of seeing a final, we're seeing this game twice. So you want the glass half full, that's where the glass is half full. It's not half full for Real Madrid, because I agree with what Jules said. In a one-off, you can see a scenario by which Real Madrid could beat Manchester City. Over two legs, I think Manchester City are too strong.
All right. Well, let's get on to talk about Arsenal's game against Bayern, because Arsenal are actually slight favourites going into this clash. However, Thomas Müller is pretty confident about Bayern's chances right now. He's been speaking about it after the draw was made. He said Arsenal is a team that will give us two exciting games. They are currently in a good form and they have good momentum. It will be tough, but with the second leg in Munich, we have a good chance of progressing. That's quite a bold statement, Frank, for a team that have struggled this season against an Arsenal team that are not really struggling this season at all.
That's true by the numbers, but by the history of each club, you know, you can say that Bayern can be confident about the about progressing in that competition. I think Thomas Müller is right. Arsenal is a very good team. Arsenal should go through, but against Bayern Munich, you never know. You never know what can happen. We saw lately a very good game from the old team, and they all went along very well, and they all played together, and it was like the best from the past. And so you never know what to expect, because like we all know it's a circus over there. But when they want to play together, they have the talent to cause problems to the opponent, and that's what can happen. And playing the second leg at home, yeah, could make a difference. So I'm not surprised by his answer and his reaction. I think it's only fair. He knows that Arsenal is going to be a danger, but it's possible because of the history of Bayern to progress in that competition.
Okay, who advances for you, Stevie? Arsenal or Bayern?
Absolutely Arsenal. Why would you put your money on Bayern Munich? Bayern Munich haven't strung two good 90 minutes together all season. So how can you not have Arsenal as favourites? I mean, this Bayern Munich side have collapsed in games from nowhere, just when you least expect it. There's nothing you can rely on with this Bayern Munich side. And the other side of the coin, all you can do is rely on Arsenal. You talk about consistent. From the first kick-off this season, they have been absolutely consistent. And they've got goal scorers as well. You take Harry Kane out of Bayern Munich. Take Harry Kane out of Bayern Munich. What are you left with? Come on. Bayern Munich haven't strung two games together all season, and you think over two legs, Bayern Munich's going to win.
Has Müller looked at the game against Porto, though, and thought, actually,
Müller's telling you what he should say. Yeah, we fancy a chance. What do you want him to say? Well, we've been rotten all season, so we've got no chance. Of course he's going to say the right thing. You can't look at this tie and give me any reason why Bayern Munich should be favourites to beat Arsenal over two legs.
Frank?
No reason.
No. I agree. Just a question, and you mentioned that, Kay, about the second leg Porto game where we all thought that Arsenal will do the job and will win against Porto easily because of their consistency. They struggle. They scored the goal, and after we didn't see the Arsenal that we saw. So it's Champions League. It's different, and it's why I was talking about history. Arsenal reached the semi-final of the final of the Champions League a long time ago, and Bayern is still there almost every year. So allow me to have some doubts, and if I think Arsenal is a favourite, it's not going to be easy for them.
Frank, you are allowed.
You are, Ali.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Well, you know my allegiances to the Bundesliga.
I do, but obviously you watch Bayern week in, week out, so what do you think?
So Arsenal's going to go through. Look, here's my concern about Bayern Munich. And it's not only my concern, it's a concern of Thomas Tuchel as well, who has said it very clearly over the course of the season and complained and whined about it time and time again. I don't have a strong midfielder. I don't have a strong midfield area. I don't have strength there. I don't have enough quality there. I don't have players that I can trust to do the job in that area. Whether he has them or not, I do not know. But this is what he says. And if you look at Bayern Munich, while they have their struggles in the back line, those struggles begin in the midfield and how their spacing and their structure is all over the place. You look at Arsenal and what they can do through that midfield, they can expose some of those frailties. The one thing that I would say to Arsenal and that I would say to Bayern Munich if I were giving the pep talk to Bayern Munich would be, individually, we got some talent in this team. And so you have to be concerned if you're Arsenal that Jamal Musiala has a great game, or Leroy Sané has a great game, or Harry Kane has a great game. You have to be concerned about that because individually it's a team that can hurt you. They just haven't been a team the whole season, and that's part of the reason as to why they're trailing so far back from Bayer Leverkusen.
What did you think when you saw that draw, Jules, and who do you think's going through?
I thought it was written in the stars somewhere after old times under Wenger, where Bayern used to come to the Emirates or at home and destroy these Arsenal teams that were not as good as the one that we currently see. But still, those 10-2 on aggregate and 8-2 on aggregate and all those games. And that maybe it's time for payback in a way now. And Arsenal are actually coming into this game as favourite, even with the second leg in Germany. This Bayern team hasn't been great. The only... To respond to Stevie, the only reason maybe you would go for Bayern is Harry Kane, simply because, you know, he can make the difference. All those goals he scored for Spurs against Arsenal, he's back in North London, of course. So this is going to be a narrative that here in England they're going to use a lot. Obviously, it's Kane coming back as well, so it would be very special. But I think collectively, I think even in a way individually in key positions, I think Arsenal are stronger, but it's the Champions League again and anything is possible. But you will have to say that Arsenal have to be, even if it's just like favourite, 55-45, something like that, but then they would have to be favourite.
I'll be coming back to Jules very soon because we're going to talk about PSG against Barcelona next. That's one of the other quarterfinal ties. PSG are slight favourites going into this one, and ahead of it, we were able to talk to İlkay Gündoğan about the tie.
With Paris, I think we got an opponent that is obviously a very tough team, a lot of individual quality. But I feel like this season also, especially, they made a big step also as a team. They are growing. And it's going to be a tough challenge that we're going to face. But again, it's exciting. It's something that we should embrace, that we should enjoy. And hopefully we can transmit that into our performances.
Ali, what do you think happens here?
Well, the first thing that I would do if I were Xavi is forget about this high line. And trying to play a high line against PSG and killing Mbappe is just asking for all sorts of issues and all sorts of trouble, because you haven't been able to do it consistently against lesser teams in La Liga. The speed of killing Mbappe will kill the back line of Barcelona if you allow it to happen. So you got to put pressure on the ball, and you cannot play a ridiculous high line, an irresponsible high line, because that invites trouble. If you're Barcelona, you have to control the pace of this game, and you cannot depend on 1v1 situations. You don't want PSG in 1v1 situations with Mbappe on one side and Ousmane Dembele on the other side, who was inconsistent for Barcelona, but it happened to be that his last few months at Barcelona, when he wasn't injured, the guy was perhaps the only player at Barcelona that could break down people in 1v1 situations. So don't allow that to happen. You're Barcelona, you have to control the pace of the game through the midfield. Your passing has to be much better. And then you have to exploit the frailties of PSG defensively. Lamine Yamal has to be excellent. Robert Lewandowski has to score big goals. In the end, I'm going to pick Barcelona simply because it feels like there is more of a concept of a group in Barcelona than there is in PSG. And while I agree with Gundogan that there seems to be some growth at PSG, I don't think it's quite enough.
So let's get the PSG side of things with Jules. How confident are you for your PSG, Jules?
I don't think it's a bad draw. I won't lie. I don't think this Barca team has been great this season. They've been more underwhelming than not. Certainly, they don't have the consistency to play well for long period of time. So they are moments, of course, they have moments, especially individually. Lately, it's very much Lamine Yamal and nothing much. I'm not sure about injuries and who's going to come back, if De Jong is going to be there, if Pedri could be there for the first leg, for the second leg. I don't know, but right now, this is a team that I think PSG can get at. And where I disagree with Ali, I think this is a much stronger collective unit for PSG than we've seen for a very long time, probably since the Laurent Blanc era. They have this unit, and they're not perfect, of course, and you can look at the midfield with Zaire Emery, who's 17, turning 18 very soon, of Vitinha, who is still young and quite inexperienced, and whether it's Fabian Ruiz or Ugarte, and yeah, this is not a box office midfield, I get that, but it's a hard-working midfield. It's a midfield that more and more now knows exactly what to do, and then when you have the best player in the world in your team, plus on top of that, Dembele going back to Barcelona, for example, when you've got your own manager, Luis Enrique, going back to Barcelona as well, with everything that means, and Luis Enrique is going to absolutely love going back to Barcelona in this current context, I think PSG have a really good chance. So second leg is in Barcelona at Montjuic. I'm not sure if that's a disadvantage or not, because Montjuic hasn't been really a fortress this season, we have to be honest. I think it would be great. Again, I would have PSG slightly favourite, not much, but 55-45 again. But I think it's going to be a fantastic tie over two legs.
Has Jules changed your mind, Ali?
No, and I don't know what he's disagreeing with me about, because I said that PSG are far better as a group now than they were before. I agree with him, actually.
Okay.
It's just not quite to the level that he sees this as
okay.
A team that can be... So, I look at PSG as a team that is very very vulnerable to me. And if Barcelona were picking teams to play against, I know that there is something to fear in the Mbappe and Dembele factor. I know that Xavi would fear that. But there are also things that Barcelona can do to affect the game of PSG that perhaps they couldn't do against a team like Manchester City. They would have zero chance against Manchester City. They would have difficulties against Arsenal. I don't know. I don't think they have an opportunity truly against Real Madrid. So of all the teams that they could have drawn, PSG is not the worst.
Oh, so let's talk about their side of the bracket then, Frank, because obviously it's PSG, Barca, Atleti and Borussia Dortmund. For you, are PSG the strongest side in that side of the bracket?
I don't think so. After seeing Atletico Madrid, I think that they are the two favorites, and I will put a little bit Atletico on top of it because of the experienced player that they have, because of the mentality that they have. And if I see a semi-final between Atletico and Paris Saint-Germain, I think Paris Saint-Germain will struggle because of the quality of the squad and the how they think the game is going to cause problems to Paris Saint-Germain. I think Paris Saint-Germain is going to go through. They're my favorites for Barcelona against Barcelona because it's so much at stake. You know, we all thought that Paris Saint-Germain will play maybe Real Madrid, that we're going to see how Mbappe is going to behave. Will he be hated by the Real Madrid fans? He could be loved by the Real Madrid fans if he humiliates the Blaugrana. And Luis Enrique comes back, Dembélé comes back. There are so much things that make me think that PSG is going to go through. And I, like all the pundits, think that Atletico is going to go through against Dortmund. Therefore, I see Atletico going to the final. I see them more armed to cope with all situations against Paris Saint-Germain.
PSG or Barca? Who goes through?
Barca.
Okay.
Yeah. I think a PSG, and all I can think of is if Mbappe turns up, you've got a chance. And if he doesn't, you don't have a chance. Simple as that.
All right, let's get on to the draw with Atleti taking on Borussia Dortmund. Atleti are favourites going into this clash. They should be for you, LA?
They should be. And look, we can say whatever we want, Atletico Madrid. We can say whatever we want about Diego Simeone. But they find a way. And seemingly in this competition, they find a way. And the performance, even coming back from injury by Antoine Griezmann, I know the French guys are going to be really happy about this. He makes a difference for this team. He makes this team, gives this team a completely different personality in the attack. And if I'm Diego Simeone, I'm not playing Morata up top anymore. I'm playing Memphis Depay alongside Antoine Griezmann because what a difference did he make coming off the bench. I just look at Atletico Madrid, and there's a personality about this group that over two legs, they're just going to make it impossible for you and frustrating. And while they don't defend nearly as well as they did before, guys like Rodrigo De Paul and Koke, you just look at them and they just annoy you. Huh? When you're playing against this guy, they annoy you. They get in your head and they slow the game down. And all of a sudden, you think you got them under control. You feel like you're carrying the rhythm of the game. And how come we're losing to this team? How can we losing to this group? And it continues to happen. So if it's just a one-time thing for Atletico Madrid, I would say, well, it's just coincidence. But it's a trend, and it's part of their game. It's part of who they are. And Simeone somehow gets the best out of this group when it counts the most, when it matters the most. It mattered against Inter, and we saw a much better performance from Atletico Madrid, certainly at home.
All right. Well, there you go. So let's take a look.
Oh, and mind you, Dortmund. You cannot trust that team. Have I told you that before? Okay.
Yeah, I think everybody knows that, especially after last season. Just a reminder of how things are looking when it comes to the Champions League and what's ahead in the quarterfinals. So let's just go all the way to the final end. I'll go to you first, Frank, because you said you can see Atleti making it to the final. Who have you got winning it all?
Of course, Manchester City. Because I see City going through against Real Madrid and after winning against I think against Bayern Munich. I see Bayern Munich going through. I don't know, because maybe I want to be against Ali and Stevie on maybe, but I see City winning again. I mean, I know it's hard to win twice in a row, but I don't see anybody stronger than Manchester City. It would be unfair to say otherwise. Final is the final. Again, if you play against Atletico Madrid in the final, you never know what can happen. And Ali just explained very well that you always expect to win, and suddenly you realize that you are losing, and you're about to lose against that team. But I want to trust City capable of doing twice, winning the Champions League in a row.
So, Jules, are you going to back up your fellow Frenchman and say that City are going to win it too?
Yeah, I think City. I mean, we said it from the beginning. We're not going to change now. Yeah, at times, as we saw against Liverpool, for example, they can struggle if you put them under pressure. But who can put them under pressure like Liverpool? There are not just not many teams like that in Europe right now, certainly not in this draw. So I go for City, and I'm just hoping that my PSG boys make it to the final on their side of the draw.
Stevie.
Yeah, you got to go with City. I'm hoping it's going to be Barcelona, to be honest, because I'd hate Atletico Madrid to get there just because of the way they play the game.
So anti-athletic.
Oh, well, I am, because I don't like the way they play the game. That's what I dislike the most about them. So Yeah, you can't.
They've been progressive this season, Steve.
Okay, so they have, aye.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, why?
You didn't like the game against Inter, Stevie? The second leg against Inter, you didn't like it?
He called them a one-man show yesterday.
That was great.
Well, hold on a second. If you want to start delving into that, you can thank your fellow Frenchman for them getting them back in the game. Pavard, with his clearance, it was straight to Griezmann that got them back in the game. Otherwise, Inter wins this. So, no, listen, they take advantage of any little mistake you make. That's the thing about Atletico Madrid. That's the biggest thing about them for me. If you make a mistake, they pounce on it big time. I'm not a huge fan of the way they play. I don't think they go and outplay teams. They don't go and play football the way City or Madrid or the way Barcelona try and play the game. They go to win, which is fair enough, but just don't ask me to be a fan of it. That's all.
I love it that we asked him who's going to win the whole thing and he still ended up having a rant about Atleti. So he didn't say. Ale.
Oh, it's Manchester City. And I think Manchester City at their best are clearly better than everybody else in this competition. It's whether they are at their best and whether something odd or weird happens in the game that maybe doesn't allow Manchester City to bring their very best on the day. Over two legs, I think they're too strong in the semifinals and in the quarterfinals and in the semifinals. And then, of course, if they get to the final, they're going to get, in my opinion, Barcelona. And I just don't think this is a matchup that Barcelona wants any part of, because Manchester City does everything that Barcelona wants to do a whole lot better than they do. And in every position, they're simply better situated, better positioned, more talented. Across the line, it's just too much Manchester City against Barcelona in the final. Manchester City win it 3-1. I'll give you a score. Because Manchester City will give up a goal. You know they'll give up a goal at some point.
We're going to say bye to Jules now, but if you'd like to hear more from Jules, he actually did live reaction to the draw today with Gab. Make sure to go and check that out on...
Well, you have to say Gab. See, now people are not going to watch.
Go check it out.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
It's so on.
Volemos Angel City!
Let's show them how we do it, guys.
KC, baby! KC, baby!
Oh,
what a
finish!
We cannot wait. Season-long coverage of NWSL across all ESPN platforms gets underway with KC Current against Portland Thorns. And ahead of it, Sebi Salazar spoke with Portland Thorns Sophia Smith.
Sophia Smith with us here on Football Americas. Welcome to the show. Great
Thank
to have you.
Thanks for having me.
We've been asked to make our picks for who's going to win the NWSL this year. I went out on a limb and said Portland Thorns, not just because we're doing this interview.
Win.
Well, you got to make a pick. You got to make a pick. Maybe not out on a limb. Poorly worded. What are your expectations for 2024?
I think we have big goals as a team. This club is known for, you know, we win. That's the expectation. That's the standard. I think the biggest thing for us, though, is to take it game by game. We don't want to look too far forward. We know the league is growing. Every team is going to be a challenge. I don't even know who's on what team at this point. Like, you show up to a game, it's going to be hard, regardless of who it is. So I think we just take it game by game, focus on the next opponent and winning that. And, you know, what comes of that is hopefully winning the league, winning the Shield, and winning a championship.
Lots of interesting storylines ahead of tomorrow. You're obviously taking on Kansas City. They're coached by Vlatko Ananovski, who you played for with the U.S. women's national team. What do you think that'll be like going up against a former manager?
I don't think anything of it. I think, obviously, I spent a lot of years with Vlatko being coached by him, and I think he's a really great guy. I'm happy for him. I think this opportunity is great for him, and I think he's doing great things with this team. And obviously, you know, he's in a position in a club where they're willing to invest, and I think that's a great place to be in. Yeah, I don't think anything of it. It's just another team, another coach, and at the end of the day, we just have to show up and play our game.
Let's talk Portland. How's the team looking? I know it's only been a few sessions, but from what you've seen so far, some new faces, what are you thinking?
I'm excited. I'm really excited. I think we've brought in some really, really amazing players, not only players, but people, and you see it kind of coming together in practice. I think this is a special group. I know we say that every year, but you can really feel it with this group, and I'm excited for what's to come, for sure.
Who are the big jokesters on the team? Because there's like four or five of them right now that are running around in the back of the shot, and then they just get on that. Come on. Yes. Oh, we got it. We got it. We got it.
Make sure to catch more from Sevi and the crew on Football America's special edition.
Keeping it professional, I see.
Yes, NWSL preview after tonight's Challenge Cup. Make sure to catch Football America's. A big season is ahead.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Europa League quarterfinal bracket is set. Just a reminder, Stevie, that this is where Liverpool are playing this
season. Thank you, Keir, for bringing
Next up, it will be Atalanta. Milan take on Roma. Bayer Leverkusen taking on West Ham. And Benfica against Marseille. And the Liverpool-Leverkusen final is a possibility this season. But before any Europa League action comes up, there is the FA Cup quarterfinal stage. And Liverpool have got Manchester United. Just a look at Jurgen Klopp's record at Old Trafford. In all competitions, not his best. 9 games, only won 2 of them, and drawn 4 and lost 3 as well. So, Stevie, what are we looking at in the most recent meeting?
I think you're going to see a similar game to the 0-0 draw at Anfield. You know, Man United, no question, are going to sit tight and try and break. You know, Liverpool have to be favourites going into this game. But as you saw on the screen there, the record is not particularly great. I think it was last season. Was it last season? We lost 2-1 in the league. And before the game, I've never been so confident that a Liverpool side is going to go to Old Trafford and beat a Man United team and got beat. And so I'm not going to go down that route this time. I think it's going to be tight. Because it's Old Trafford and it's a different atmosphere at Old Trafford. And it's going to be tough for Liverpool. They're going to have to be patient because Manchester United will give them the ball, will let them have it. And the only thing I would say to United is be careful what you ask for, because you're going to have to defend really well. And if you do that, then you'll give yourself a chance on the break with the pace of Garnacho and I'm assuming Rashford. And, of course, I think Hoyland's going to start as well. The talk is he's fit. So, yeah, this is going to be backs to the wall for United. Keep Liverpool at bay and then try and hit them on the break.
Because we ask you a lot about the Anfield atmosphere, yeah. But you've just mentioned there the Old Trafford atmosphere. Yes. What is it like to play there as an opposition player?
It's very difficult to describe. I described playing at Anfield with that crowd behind you as being on a magic carpet. Well, somebody pulled the rug away when you go to Old Trafford. All of a sudden, everything you do is a lot more difficult. Every single thing that you do at Anfield with the crowd behind you is easy. It's easy to run up and down the field. It's easy to challenge people. Everything seems easy for you. When you go to Old Trafford, there's this force that makes everything you do just that little bit harder.
And I defer to you, Stevie, with your experience and the things that you've been able to accomplish in the game. And when you talk about Old Trafford, but isn't there now an argument to be made that if there was ever a time to play at Old Trafford, it is now.
But that's the problem, Ali. That's what I thought. That's what I thought the last time we lost 2-1 at Old Trafford in the league. Before that, I was thinking the same as you. You know, you sit and you think about the game rationally and you analyse it and you go through how United are playing and who's going to hurt you and who's not going to hurt you and who's going to stop you defensively. Is Maguire going to play? Because if he's playing, then he's slower than me.
And that's
then,
slow.
Then, unfortunately, the game starts. The ball comes out and the game starts. And atmospheres at grounds change games. And as I said before, you look at the screen, even for somebody as great a coach as Klopp, he's got a losing record there.
Now, this force that you're talking about, can we at least agree that that force is not nearly as strong as it once was?
Oh, well, yes, absolutely.
The other argument that I can comfortably make is that that force can actually work against Manchester United. If indeed what they do is just sit back and absorb pressure, don't even look to get out on the counter, don't even look to create opportunities. The Manchester United fan is used to something else. And at this point, this is who they are. I understand that this is who they currently are. This is who they currently are. And apparently that's what gives you the best chance to win game. But man, in a Liverpool-Manchester United game, FA Cup, you're thinking, here we go, we're going to play. And this team is not going to play. It's not going to play. And I think Old Trafford is going to demand something different from their own team, and it's not going to happen. If Liverpool are as good as they were in the second half against Manchester City, this is all Liverpool.
Stevie, it's going to be all right. Frank, can you tell him that it's going to be all right?
No. Oh. because I'm the only one seeing a draw, and I see Manchester United winning on penalties. So, I think the example that Stevie just gave is because he plays for Liverpool, and everybody has to understand that Manchester United against Liverpool, it's a real derby. It's not United against City. That's United against Liverpool. They hate each other because of the history of the city and whatever happened to Liverpool when United was built. I experienced Old Trafford. It was Chelsea, I tell you. It was a library. But, of course, when Liverpool comes over, it's something else. It's different. On top of it, it's the FA Cup. So it's going to be even more different. So forget about the statistics. You put everything down and you start from scratch. Yes, Liverpool is better overall, but again, it's a very special game. So it's why I see United fighting hard against Liverpool, and because of the fans, maybe getting crazy, getting the advantage of it.
Sorry, Stevie, but not sorry to you guys, because you'll get to watch the games this weekend.
All right.
This is our FA Cup quarter-final schedule, of course, the big one on Sunday between Manchester United and Liverpool. We've also got Chelsea against Leicester, and the day before it's Man City taking on Newcastle and Wolves against Coventry.
We're talking about this year's Manchester United, right? Still. I'm just asking.
Europa Conference League bracket looks like this. Aston Villa taking on Lille, Olympiacos against Fenerbahce, Victoria Pilsen against Fiorentina, and Club Brugge will be taking on Hauk.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
La Liga coming up this weekend as well. You'll get to see a lot more of Ali and myself on our coverage this weekend. Right. It's the big one. It is
good
on
news.
Sunday.
Hey, hey.
Atleti against Barca. And before that, we've got Real Madrid up in Pamplona to take on Osasuna. Every single game, as always, available in English and Spanish on ESPN+. That is all we've got time for on the latest edition of the show. But we do have your extra time questions here. And Frank will be back tonight to answer them. So stick around. They're coming up now. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Stevie found the stamina to make it two nights in a row here on ESPN FC.
Not even out of breath yet.
Not even out of breath yet. We've got Frank Leboeuf with us and Ali Moreno as well. Frank, would you play in a Legends game now? When was the last one you played in?
The last game that I played, what, football?
Like a Legends game.
Last September we played Chelsea against Bayern Munich. And I only played like 6 or 7 minutes at the end of the game because I had a groin problem. But that was more than enough to enjoy. And I have to play June 8th with French legends for the D-Day. In fact, the June 6th, but we only played the 8th. And in Normandy, we're going to play for Le Bleu, for the, you know, the, like for you, the in England, the poppy.
Who are you playing, Frank? Who's the game against?
The former Caen legends.
I have a legends game on June 1st. But I can't go because it's a Champions League final, you see.
How long do you think you would last if you could go?
Oh, what a good excuse.
No, he's I can run.
Well, yeah, but remember when you played with your son and his friends?
I can get through it. It's the post-match that is difficult. I can get through the game. It's just...
Yeah, the Shelley Temples are a problem.
What happens in the post-match is a problem because I can barely move.
Yeah, in case you didn't know, Ali Moreno is the cleanest living of all of our pundits. And there can be no arguments about that.
Oh, yeah.
All right. First question.
By the way, the bar is very low.
To all, given how kind the draw has been to PSG and Barca, do you think, I'll split this in two here then, A, if Barca win the Champions League, LA, Xavi could stay?
Well, he said he was leaving. So I imagine that when you make a decision like that is because you have other reasons beyond the fact that the team is not playing well, beyond that you haven't met the objective, that it's a comprehensive decision. At least I would imagine that it would be an all-inclusive decision, that it isn't just about some of the things that are not happening on the field. It may mean as well that he's not very happy with his situation at the club or the coverage that he's given or the pressure that he's given by the media and how he's been treated by the media. Maybe that's what he's talking about. If you make a decision to announce that you're leaving at the end of the year, midway through the year, you're saying you've had enough, basically. Does winning Champions League change that? Perhaps, but I would assume that then makes your argument in the middle of the year to make that decision very weak. You've made that decision, then you stick with your decision.
All right. Frank, if PSG win the Champions League, Mbappe might stay.
No, it will for sure, 100%, like Ali said, it will go because he would have achieved something, what he's looking for. and therefore it will go for another challenge. So if Paris Saint-Germain wins the Champions League, I can tell you, I can sign it, he's going to leave.
That's the other thing. If you're Xavi and you win Champions League, you go, ha-ha! Well, see, I was right all along, and now you take care of this mess. It's not my problem anymore.
Bike off into the sunset.
Absolutely.
Ale, what should Barca's lineup and tactics look like against PSG? I fear Xavi tries the same high line that he used against Madrid in the Supercopa and gets torched by Mbappe and Dembele.
And we address this in the show. If he does that and they don't put pressure on the ball, then you don't have to worry about Xavi sticking around if they win Champions League, because they're not going to get past PSG. They cannot play. If you want to play a high line against PSG, you are inviting Kylian Mbappe and Ousmane Dembele to take advantage of that space and to run in behind. But it must have been about 3 years ago when Barcelona were playing against PSG in Champions League, and there's an image of Gerard Piqué chasing Kylian Mbappe and just like hanging onto the jersey of Kylian Mbappe, right? They haven't gotten any better in that sort of in that position in terms of being able to keep up with that sort of speed. Kylian Mbappe's speed is world class, and you play a high line, you leave that space. All PSG has to do is just clip it over the top, and it's game over. You don't want that if you're Barcelona. You cannot play the high line. If you do, then it's game, set, match.
You know, there's one thing that I've seen over the last few years that I cannot get my head around, and that is teams playing a high line without any pressure on the ball.
Yep.
Because that's the key.
That's impossible.
You can't play a high line if there's nobody pressing the ball. And there's so many teams do it, and I can't get my head around why they continue to do it. It's rule number one. Unless somebody has got pressure on the ball, you cannot hold a line. But teams, including Liverpool, particularly last year, were continuing to do it without pressure on the ball. And considering they've got a coach for every single possible thing you can think of these days, you would have thought somebody would have noticed and started talking to the team about it. But there's just so many teams that do it now without any pressure. It is absolute madness.
And so many coaches will talk about, well, we want the aggressive mindset. We want to be on the front foot, and we want to go and press higher up the field. Yeah, that's great, but you're not playing by yourself. Right, you're playing against another team that has weapons. And in the case of PSG, who is their main weapon? Kylian Mbappe. And what is one of his main attributes? His speed. So why invite the possibility of PSG taking advantage of what their best player does best and better than everybody else in the world? Why would you do that? Doesn't make any sense. So if indeed you decide that you're going to play a high line, talk about pressure on the ball. You got to get numbers around the ball all the time. And Barcelona haven't been able to do that all season. And so why would that change against PSG? You got to drop 10, 15 meters, 10, 15 yards and give yourself some space.
Next question, Stevie. I know you don't think highly of the Europa League. I wonder what made them think that. But would a Liverpool against Leverkusen final be the perfect interview for Alonso to be the next manager for Liverpool?
No, I don't think one game is going to decide whether they want Alonso or not. It's kind of Liverpool or anybody else that's looking at Alonso or any other manager, I would assume, is looking at the body of work. And not just results, but the way they play, the way they go about things, how they set the team up. I would assume that would be the way to go if you wanted Alonso, not just what he does in this one game. Certainly if he wins it, it'll help, but no, it's not. It's not going to be the decider whether they want Alonso or not, what happened in that game.
So it links to the next question. Stevie, start, bench or drop? Liverpool winning the Premier League only, Liverpool winning the FA Cup and Europa League only, or Liverpool not winning anything but Klopp signs an extension?
I think the last one's mute because that's just not happening.
So you're dropping that?
Yeah, forget that. Winning the league. I would sacrifice the FA Cup and the Europa for winning the Premier League every day of the week and twice on Sunday.
So it's the order that you see on the screen?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. I don't know if I should ask Stevie, this one. So I'm going to ask you, Frank, why doesn't Simeone get more credit? Yes, he's highly paid, but he doesn't have the resources of Real or Barca. Yet he's put a Europa-level squad consistently through the Champions League. Who cares if he plays boring football? Isn't winning the deodorant of football?
I would be sure to give some time to Stevie to finish Simeone, but I really think that you have to give some credit. I mean, when I saw the game against Inter Milan, yes, because of that Pavard mistakes, Griezmann was able to equalize very quickly. But it's part of what you are expecting. I like the mentality of the squad. I like what Simeone brings because he brings fury. He brings like craziness inside the game. We see some players like Savage being dirty. It's the old football. It's what I like about. Yeah, it's not pretty. Yeah, it's not offensive. Maybe even if it was, if it's more offensive than before. But I like the spirit because it's the old spirit that I used to see in many teams in my time. So I will give a little bit more credit to Simeone. He's not the best football, but it's an interesting one.
I am not 100% sure on this, right?
Right.
Oh, here we go.
But I am
speculation.
I am not far off, right? But Simeone, in the 9 years that Klopp's been there, Simeone spent the same amount of money at Atletico Madrid. And I've always told you, it's nothing to do with Atletico Madrid, the club. It's to do with the way they play the game. So if you're telling me that they don't have the resources, well, I'm sorry, I'm not having that. Because the way they play the game, I am telling you, I believe that he has spent more money than Klopp has spent at Liverpool. And look how they play the game.
But he broke up the duopoly for certain parts of that time. Oh, come on, Stevie, you've got to give it that.
No, listen. Hold on a second. We sit here and everybody sits and talks about Man City, about the money they've spent, right? And Simeone, nobody ever says a word. All we get is, oh, he doesn't have the resources. I'm telling you, I hope one of the producers can get on Google and tell me, because I'm pretty sure...
Get on that interweb.
I'm pretty sure that he spent just as much as Klopp has at Liverpool.
Right.
And look at the way they play the game. And by the way, they won the Premier League. And by the way...
Yeah, and they've won
the league. And by the way, and they knocked Man City off the pitch.
Twice under him.
Hey, by the way, I certainly hope that our research department... They get their numbers somewhere else other than just Google.
It just annoys me. It annoys me the way they play the game. That's what annoys me. I've got nothing against the club. The fact that they spent the money they have and the way they play the game, I'm sorry.
But it's not like they haven't won anything, Stevie. They've won trophies under him in that time. Trophies that Real Madrid and Barcelona would have usually been winning every time.
Made it to Champions League final.
Yeah, Champions League final twice.
You're not listening.
Copa del Rey.
Are you going to listen?
La Liga.
Are you going to listen to
I'm
me?
I'm listening to
Look
you.
Look at the way they play the game.
Right, but...
Right.
But
so is that you
style.
Okay with that?
That's his style. That's what he's had success with.
Hey, now see, what people may not realise...
Honestly.
Hey, people may not realise, as Frank was answering that question and he was on camera, Stevie was over here going, come on. Be done, Frank.
I'm sorry.
Be done, Frank.
I'm sorry. I accept.
I felt that I had to be short.
I accept that you have to do what you have to do to win a game of football. And if it means you put people behind the ball and you kick people and you punch them and you knock them over and you moan and you complain, then that's fine. But don't tell me you've spent $500 million, pounds, potatoes, or whatever it is.
Whatever it is,
we're looking for euros. Euros.
It's potatoes.
Pesos.
Don't tell me
pesos.
I know. Potatoes is short for pesos, Frank. So don't tell me you spend $500 million and then you're going to do that. That's my problem.
Yeah,
that is my
don't spend
problem.
All that money and win silverware.
That's my problem.
All right. Frank, what do you think of Real Madrid's decision to not let go of their French players, Tchouameni and Camavinga, possibly Kylian too, for the Olympics?
Yeah, that's a very good idea. Football doesn't belong for me to the Olympics. I mean, I believe that Olympics, and when I watch Olympics, I don't want to see football, tennis, or basketball. I know it's about money, but it's not the image of the Olympics for me. It's a star system, and the Olympics is everything but a star system. So I'm happy that players don't take the first page of the others, of the people who prepare for 4 years to become maybe unique in one race or one jump or whatever it can be. I don't want to see football players, so I don't want to see Mbappe, Tchouaméni, or Kamavinga with the national team. I don't care. Voilà.
I tell you, Frank hates the dream team is what I heard there. That's what I heard.
No. All right, Stevie, have you called down from Mr. Bioni?
Hi.
All right.
Absolutely.
Are you ready? When you managed, how involved were you in making sure your assistant coaches were taken care of and received fair contracts from the club, or were assistant coaches handled independently?
Yeah, it was all handled independently. Yeah. Yeah.
Selfish.
Well, let me just put it this way.
Don't worry about me, Jack, I'm fine.
Let me just put it this way. Including myself, there was nobody at the Revs overpaid. I'll just put it that way.
All right.
So, yeah, no, they had to handle it themselves.
So basically, your approach was this, look, the fact that you're here means that I'm giving you my vote of confidence, but to go into that office and ask for a new contract, that's on you.
Not quite as bluntly as that. Obviously, I would help in any way I could, but there wasn't an awful lot I could do. I didn't carry an awful lot of weight.
Yeah.
As far as that was concerned.
Is it easier that way anyway, to not have to deal with that on top of everything else?
Well, not really, no. It would be great to have the influence that you could get some of your staff more money. I just didn't have that influence. I mean, that would be fantastic to be in that position. But
all right.
Didn't have it.
Frank, which actor, alive or dead actor or actress, would you dream of sharing the stage with?
Oh, I know the answer to this one.
Wow. Sean Connery, for sure. Fantastic actor.
Oh. And they would do a twin movie.
I know. The Spider-Man meme. Yeah. See one another.
Thank you.
I
take it. I take it. Ali, I take it. Thank you very much.
Frank, I've got a question for you.
Tell me.
Do you remember what Sean Connery's favourite food was? Do you remember?
Favorite what?
Food.
Oh, yes. You say it, but you say it in a better way. You say it in a better way. Come on, say it. I love when you say it. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, goulash. Goulash, exactly. Goulash. Yeah. Would I love to play with Bruce Willis and also Samuel Jackson. I love Samuel Jackson.
Frank, give us a leading lady.
Oh, Jodie Foster. I met her. She was at the French Lycée in Los Angeles. She's a wonderful actress, for sure. There's so many movies that I loved about her and the way she exposed herself. I mean, that was great. And Julia Roberts as well. I love her smile. I love the way she plays. I would have loved to be alongside her, yeah, for sure.
Okay. The last point I would like to make has just come through from our stats team.
Okay,
Come on.
I can't drop my mic because I'll get into trouble. Liverpool have a net spend of €420 million since Klopp joined.
All right.
Atleti have a net spend of €58 million since that time.
Your numbers were a little off, Stevie.
Well, that's because... here's the problem, right? When you go with stats, we always tell you that you can manipulate stats. And what you've done is you've gone for the net, right?
This is the stats team.
Hold on. Let me explain it. What you've done is you've gone for the net. What I want is how much they've actually spent on players.
But we went to Google. You said go to Google. We went to Google.
Hey, there's a lot of things on Google.
Oh, we went to our stats team. We went to our in-house stats team.
Oh, okay.
Oh, this is official.
I want the other one.
You may have me wrong, Steve.
I don't want the net. I want how much they've actually spent.
Something tells me. Yeah, we don't have time for it, but something tells me you're not on the in-house channel where you can ask that very quickly. I'm going to sign you up for it. I know you're not so technologically advanced. And you can ask questions like this so that you can prove your point next time.
Well, you can do it quickly, then why don't you do it?
Is that a mountain potatoes or are we back to Euros?
All right, potatoes. Okay, potato. That's
I'm
the end
very
of
sorry,
today's
Stevie.
Show.
Yeah. You have to apologize to Simeone, please, quickly, before
really
the
should.
End of the show.
Not a chance.
Where are you looking? Where are you looking?
I don't know.
It would be this one over here, Steve. This one right here with the light.
If only Paul was here to help me. Yes, Paul. Yeah, Nick, Paul's.
It's the one with the light, Stevie. Red light. There you go.
Diego, not a chance.
Goulash.
Yeah. I'll take.
Here we go.
I might take him out for a goulash.
Simeone.
Okay, a celebrity boxing fight between Stevie and Simeone. That's what I would like.
I might not be able to run, but see these. It doesn't want in and deal with.
You just do that.
Just do that for 10 minutes. He'll be knackered, and then I'll knock him out.
Oh, that's all we've got time for. We've got to go. We'll see you next time on ESPN FC.